Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha Lewis, and this is the Good Word Podcast. And so if you are listening, be sure to take a moment to subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, and Google Play. We are doing part two of our special series on lack of religion and its impact. And joining us is Dr. Shakina Rawlings. Dr. Rawlings, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you've been on the podcast at least once before. I can't remember if it's been twice, but for folks who are just hearing you and meeting you for the first time, tell us who you are and what you do.
I am Dr. Shakina Dunbar Rawlings. I am the pastor of Kingdom Fellowship Church. I'm also the CEO of SD Rawlings Enterprise, as well as the founder of Jairus Place Girls Organization. I am a mom. I am a wife. I got a list of titles, as I would say. Yeah.
So you're wearing a lot of different hats, and we're gonna dive right in because you're doing some wonderful work, and I think that you could really provide some insight into where we are right now. Again, we are still navigating this coronavirus pandemic, even though restrictions are loosening and the outside world is beginning to open back up. But I want to talk to you about, it's been a year, for the most part, people have been worshiping virtually. And now that we are opening back up, do you believe that people will return to church?
I believe that some will. I do not believe that everybody will. I actually just did a survey for my church to kind of get some data on where my church stands as far as how they feel about opening back up and things like that. And even for us, it's divided. So I believe that you will have those that will come back because, you know, some churches have actually already opened up. They've been at a small capacity. I have a few pastor friends that have opened up. They've had no more than 30 to 50 possibly in their church services. But then majority of their people are still watching online. And I think that's going to be something that's going to go on for a while. I do not think that's going to change. Even when the world goes back to some sense of normal. Normalcy, I believe that we will still have that large amount of people who will be watching online.
But are they watching online because they're concerned about their health and their safety and coronavirus? Or are we moving into a realm where people don't feel like they need church, they need the fellowship?
I think it's both. Actually, I think it's both. I think we have individuals who are not ready to come back to a church environment because, you know, for us as church goers, you know, church, you hug and you love on people and you fellowship and things like that. And some people don't feel that that is safe right now. And of course, it's not. But there are individuals who are now getting used to this online everything. There are some people I've talked to who like the online ministry. They like the idea of being on church online. So I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I don't really have the numbers as far as what is what, but I believe there are individuals who are becoming very comfortable with being online. So some people have made up in their minds that I'm never going to go back to a church building. Even when I did the survey for my church, there were a host of people that said, Pastor, we're good. We can watch online. We can fellowship with you when you have your Wednesday fellowships and you do everything virtual. There are some people that are getting used, that have gotten used to this, and that's their norm now.
How is this going to impact praise and worship and religion moving forward for society? Because, I mean, it's, you know, we are talking about before the pandemic, fewer people were attending church. And now it seems that number is going to be drastically impacted even more.
I think we have to kind of look at it a little bit differently because for most churches, even though you may not be able to gather in a building, our reach has expanded some. Church as we know it is not the same for most of us, but the reality is for most of our churches, we're reaching more people than we ever would in a building. And I think that we have to keep that in mind that we are, for most, there are a lot of people now that didn't have a global ministry that now have a global ministry. There are individuals who churches never had individuals from out of state even visit their church, versus now you have individuals that are watching you from Africa, and you have people that are watching you from Connecticut and different things like that. And you're right here in DC. I think that we have to shift our focus to being open and flexible to kind of moving with the time some, so that we can have an impact. I don't think it's ever going to go back to where it used to be. I don't believe that. I do believe that kind of where we are is kind of where we're kind of going and where we're being pushed into. But I think there is some flexibility. We got, as pastors, we have to be flexible and open to the change, because church is not going to look like what it looked like before. I mean, you really have to get to a place even now where you do have some type of online ministry, even when you open your church doors up, because some people are not coming back to a church building. So you gotta have to, you gotta kind of revamp this entire process of how you do church and what it looks like.
What does this mean for the younger generation? Because I know for myself, you know, I grew up in the church, and I know a lot of people who grew up in the church. And I think what I miss the most, you know, navigating the last year, is not being able to take my daughter to church. So are we now going to have a younger generation that does not know what it means to grow up in the church?
I think we'll have a generation that, where church just looks different from how we grew up. I think they'll still be able to grow up in the church per se. And I guess you kind of have to define what growing up in the church looks like to you. But for me, for example, my son, my children, were used to going to church with us every Sunday. Now their sense of normalcy, my son is like, is it youth church online? So he's still growing up in the church environment, because our youth ministry is still keeping them very active. They have activities and things of that nature that they're always consistently doing. So their idea of growing up in the church is a little bit, it just looks different. But I do believe there is still that notion of growing up in the church. It just doesn't look like what you and I grew up with. Yeah, I was used to being at services all the time. We lived at the church, but the reality is we might not live at the church again. So now we've created this kind of online environment where church just looks different. So I think that's going to be a sense of normalcy for them. What we grew up with, and you ate at the church because you went from morning service to afternoon service. They may not get that experience, but they may get an online experience where they're still connected to the church and they're still going in the things of God. So it just may look a little different, but I still believe that they'll have the ability to grow up in the church.
Do you feel like we're in a society now where, especially, you know, in light of the pandemic, where people are choosing to not align with religion, maybe because they're angry, maybe because they're questioning what's been happening. A lot of people have suffered a lot of loss in different ways, shapes, and forms over the last year. And how do you address that as a woman of faith?
Well, one, I think that, that's a great question. For some people, I think when it comes to our faith, we have grown and have kind of learned that trouble is a part of the process, that we all have a moment or a time that we're going to suffer or that we go through. There are going to be experiences that everything isn't always on the high. That everything isn't always peaches and cream, that everything isn't always going to go the way that we anticipated it to. There are moments that we are going to go through pain and tribulations and trials and different things like that. We just didn't expect it to look like COVID-19. And I think what has happened for some people, it's very interesting, because in some conversations with people concerning their faith, the pandemic has pushed them closer to God. For some people, it's pushed them away from God. And I think, to be honest with you, Tisha, I think it really has to do with what your relationship with God looked like before the pandemic hit. Because the reality is, if you had that foundation before you even we stepped into a pandemic, you had that sense of relationship, that trust in God, that reverence for God, that understanding of things of God, and that things may not always go how you anticipated. And the reality is, for me, I had a lot of loss in 2020, and it was my faith that sustained me in the midst of it all. And so I think it has to go back to our relationship. How do you view God? How do you see God? What was the relationship before the pandemic? Because the reality is, if your relationship was a little bit shaky before the pandemic, when you stepped into the pandemic, you probably struggled even the more. Because one of the things that I saw in the process of when we were gathering online and things like that, and what the revelation even God gave me, was there were more people that were connected to the fellowship than they were connected to the relationship of God, and being in relationship with God. And so for me as a church, I had to also shift it to even teach our people how to have faith in the midst of what we're going through, how to trust God in the midst of the circumstances and the pain and the disappointment and the grief in the midst of it, how to continue your faith in the process. So I do believe there are some people that have kind of stepped back from this idea of God, but there are a host of people that the pandemic has made them, let me call them, God a little bit more.
Right, absolutely. And I think that you really, really hit, you know, struck a chord that a lot of people were struggling and suffering before the pandemic, and the pandemic really just intensified.
Exposed, in a sense, too.
Exposed, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It exposed where your heart was with God too, in your relationship with God. Like, I really believe that it really showed many people, like, listen, sis, bruh, you might not be as connected as you thought you were, because soon as all hell, for the lack of better words, broke out, you lost everything that you say you believed in or that you trusted in. Like, that kind of went out the window. So it's kind of like, where is that same faith that you had before the pandemic? Because we understand that the Bible even teaches us we're going to have trials and tribulations, that we're going to go through circumstances and situations. The Bible even teaches us that it's going to be a time to be born and a time to die. So even in that, where is that faith that you said you had before we were in the building? And I believe that the pandemic has exposed some of that. I really do believe that.
So what is your message to people who are not faith-based? I know that this is a faith-based podcast, and we love to have something for everyone, no matter what journey and walk that you're on. But what is your message for people who are listening to this? And I know there are people who are not on a faith walk, are not on a faith journey, are stuck in the middle of this pandemic, saying, you know, church is closed for the most part, and I'm not going to go back when it opens, and I don't really know which way to go.
Well, first of all, I would let them to make them aware that you're never alone. The Bible is very clear that that God says he would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, that you are not alone in this process or this journey that you are journeying. And I would even challenge them that in this season, try God. If you have not tried God, if there's something that maybe you were like, I'm not doing this faith thing because look at what's going on. Take out the moment to talk to God. Have an opportunity. Take out the time to have a conversation. I always tell people, you can be raw with God because he can handle all of it. Listen, he's God. He can handle your woes and he can handle your disappointments. And even if you're angry with him, he can even handle that. Take out the opportunity even now while you're going through the different emotions as well, to even have a conversation, to let God know what you feel. Also, I even challenge people during this season too a lot to make sure that you're getting some therapy. Therapy is so important because emotionally, the reality is that the pandemic has taken a toll on many of us. And so emotionally, it has literally broken some people down. So I encourage people even as well to get some therapy, to talk to somebody, to help you work through your emotions and what you're feeling as well.
And that brings me to my next point. And sorry if there's a little bit of a delay. We are on Zoom. We've been on Zoom throughout the pandemic. So we're not at our Fox podcast studio right now. We're actually doing our Good Word podcast via Zoom. So I am dealing with the mute button, like we all have dealt with the mute button via Zoom over the last year, because I want to make sure that we don't miss anything that Dr. Rawlings is sharing with us. But you brought up a really good point about therapy. And I think that there is a stigma that stigma surrounding therapy and counseling and just getting help and reaching out for help. And it's okay to not be okay. And I think that that's something that's so important. And I don't know if you can touch on just why there's this stigma, you know, concerning this in the faith-based community.
Well, you know, there is this stigma that therapy is only for people that are crazy, right? Or crazy, or that why do you need therapy if you have God, right? But the reality is God created therapy. God put it in, you know, in existence so that we could use it. It's the same thing with a doctor. You have to go to the doctor for checkups for your physical body. Why not make sure that your emotions and your mind is intact? I am a advocate for therapy. I will send people to therapy very quickly, even for when I do pastoral counseling and I realize this is beyond just the spiritual. There's some stuff that you need to dig in and dig and deal with that's a little bit deeper. I will push people to therapy. I go to therapy even myself as a pastor, because the reality is sometimes you're dealing with so much that it's easy for you to bury what you're feeling or bury what you're going through, because you're always helping people to figure out their journey and figure out what they're going through and different things like that. And so I am very intentional. I go twice a month and I absolutely love therapy because I feel like it's a safe place for me to be me with no judgment. I don't have to worry about people repeating what Shekinah is saying. I don't have to worry about the therapist saying, oh, I can't believe you said that, or you feel that way, or whatever the case may be. It's a safe space. One of the things I believe that a lot of people don't like to go to therapy, because therapy literally sometimes takes that mirror and turns it back on you, where you have to look at yourself. And sometimes we don't like what we see. But I believe that therapy is needed. I would say everybody that's been living in a pandemic should have a therapist. You should have somebody that you're talking to and somebody that is helping you along the journey to navigate what we're going through. This is not something that is normal for us. This is not, the last year has been so abnormal, it doesn't make any sense. And the reality is for some of us, we need somebody to help us navigate this emotionally, not only just spiritually as far as the church goes, but emotionally and mentally as well. So I am an advocate. My church will tell you in a minute, I've been doing Bible studies where I will literally have therapist names and different things like that, like where I say, you need to go talk. And some of them have taken the advice and gone and been in better places because of it. I think we need to kill that stigma, especially in the African-American community. That's a really, really big one. But I think now it's shifting a little bit and people are seeing the need, because we're also seeing more therapists that look like us as well. So I really, really want to push that for people, like go to therapy, talk to somebody, get the help that you need. It doesn't make you less of a believer because you needed help. Like it doesn't make you less of a believer that you needed to go and get a prescription to take because you have a tummy ache. It's no difference, right? It's the same thing. You're going to get a help. You're going to get assistance. You're just getting it for your mental and your emotional aspect of your life. That's it.
Wonderful. And then really quick, I don't know if you shared earlier when you mentioned that you did a survey kind of detailing, you know, people who plan to come back to church when it opens back up. But what kind of was the consensus that most people are, most people are not?
It was kind of down the line, Tisha. Like it was kind of down the line. Some people are like, let's continue to keep doing what we're doing. Some people were like, when the church opens back up, I'll still be online. Some people were like, when the church opens back up, I'm going to be in the building. So based on what we kind of, because I literally had them pull the survey for me this morning because I knew we were going to have this conversation, it was kind of down the middle. People are half and half. So literally for me as a pastor now is, how do I meet the community of those that will be online at the same time for those that will be in the building as well? So developing what that will look like for us going forward, even though I don't anticipate us to open anytime soon, but that is something that me and my team now are starting to even look at, to start having conversation around what does this look like for us, because this is going to be something new for us.
Wonderful. And of course, I don't know if we did this when you came on the podcast before, but we are asking everyone who joins us on the Good Word podcast to share with us a good word. So what would be, you know, your final thoughts, and what is a good word?
I would say the good word for everybody on this line today is don't give up. I'm not going to make it spiritual or anything like that, but don't give up. I know we are living at a time where things are unimaginable, things that we've never seen. These are unprecedented times. We don't understand a lot of things that are going. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep doing everything that you have to do to survive. Fight for your mind. Fight for your family. Keep pressing. Keep going. That is what I would want to say to everybody, even on the line today. Don't give up, no matter what it looks like. I know sometimes we want to throw in the towel. For some people, you may want to quit. Maybe the last year has been one of the hardest years of your life. Guess what? It's going to come to an end eventually. So don't give up. Keep pressing through it. Get the help that you need. Talk to somebody. Connect to God. Connect to family and friends. Whether you have to do it through Zoom or whatever the case may be, whatever support systems you're going to need to support you in the season that you're in, whatever you do, don't give up.
Dr. Shekinah Rawlings, thank you so, so much for joining us on the Good Word podcast. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.